And that was it for me, you know, whenever it was, 8-10 years ago, when I just thought, I just want to see what this art thing can do. Mm. And it would have been so easy at that point to say, I don't know what it's going to take from me. I don't know what I have to give to it. I'll just spend this time with my family instead. And look what I'd have missed out on. Hello and welcome everybody back to Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Alice Sheridan.
And me, Louise Fletcher.
And today we're going to be having a chat just about stretching yourself in your practice. I always like to think of things in seasons. That's an idea that I've taken on board that has really helped me cope with the sort of natural ebbs and flows of the creative life. So we thought that would be a nice thing to have a bit of a chat about today. But first of all, how has the week been for you? I've had fun week.
Well, you might as well start then, because you've probably got a lot more to say than me.
Well, since we last met, I have had not one, but two away trips with friends.
That's good.
Which have both been absolutely beautiful in very, very separate ways. One, I called a non-arty art retreat. We did do some art, but we also did a lot of walking, chatting, laughing, silliness. And it was just beautiful. So that was really a thing for me. And the second was I've just had a couple of days away. Again, you see, we say it was business, but there was some toenail painting, cocktail drinking, laughing, walking, chatting, dropping things that are non-essential. You know, it wasn't work, but they contribute in very different ways. So, you know, that was very special, both of them very fulfilling in different ways. So it's been lovely. I feel like totally grounded in life.
Oh, that's so good. It's funny because I saw that trip on Instagram and it couldn't be more different from the trip I'm planning. I was like, I'm planning this trip on my own with my dog in October. And it's my art retreat, my retreat for myself.
Yeah.
And some friends of mine said, oh, we could come, you know, and we could stay for a week with you and we could take you around and show you all the places. And I'm like, it's my space. I don't really want my friends there. And when I saw your thing, my first thought was, oh, that looks like fun. And my second thought was, I would hate that after a day. I would be like, okay, I've had enough of everyone. And it's just, again, how different we are in what you have to do, the things, whatever they are, that make you feel really good.
Yeah.
And for me, going inwards and being on my own is the thing, to the point where sometimes I have to really force myself to keep my connections, because I do want friends.
Yeah.
I do want to, but I have to, I think, oh, I've got the whole evening to myself. Oh, I really should ring up that person and make that connection again. I don't know if the pandemic made it more so for me. Perhaps it did. Because I had regular meetings with friends that we always did at the same time, or roughly the same time we'd do the same things. And that went away in the pandemic. And so I got really used to all this richness of time for myself, which then, it does, because I'm extremely introverted, it depletes me. So I do like people, but with a couple of hours, it's too much. Mm. Whereas an extrovert, like a couple of my friends are extroverts, it energizes them just like it did you. It's fun. It's enjoyable. Mm. It's the people, connections, not necessarily masses of people, but a group of people that you really enjoy. So anyway, yeah, it looked like really good fun.
I think it did have a different, I mean, for me, what I notice is I quite like the change of things. Mm. So I like being on my own. Like, so one of the patches that I've just come back from yesterday, everybody left, and I had a couple of patches within those few days where I went off. I had a walk on my own. I went off. I took my journal. I sat in the sun on my own. Those were lovely too. But it's the bouncing off people that I find really, really helpful as well. It kind of helps reconfirm things a bit in my own mind. And I think that there's a time and place for everything, and it's knowing what that is for you, really. But yeah, May is my month of it, because we've got our membership meet up in a couple of weeks. So I'm planning things for that too, which is going to be really good fun. So I've been doing that. And we've also had, it seemed a good time to open up Time for Shine again, which I've mentioned on the last couple of podcasts. So this is a short course that we last ran back in October. So if you took it back in October, you don't have to join anything again. You have access to it. It's all already in that hub. So go back into the Facebook group and find the link if you need to reset your password. So everything is in there for you already, including the lessons that have been revised. And this is one of the benefits of this, really, is that I've made it into something that you can come along, you can do anytime, you can go back to it at any time as a refresher. Any updates that I add to the course, you are going to get automatically without having to join it again. So if you took it in October, it's all there for you. If it sounds good and you want to find out more about it, come and have a look. So there will be a link from my website, or you can go straight to soulrocketstudio.com/shine. And there will be a link to the page which tells you all about it. And if you're listening live, there's an early bird offer on right now, which saves you £50. I've made it like super generous to kind of hop in and save this access forever, because it's I was looking back through the reports and the kind of testimonials we had of what it shifted people for people last time. And I think there's a lot out there, like any, you know, there's a lot of how to do this, tick, 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 you know, Google, find the answer on YouTube, all of that kind of stuff. We can always find the answer to. But what I've noticed from the work that I've done with artists is that part is not the bit that changes things for people. The bit that changes things for people is when they understand a little bit deeper about what motivates them, what works for others, how you keep that momentum going in something. So it's a little bit more about that. So it's going to surprise you, but that's open again now. So if you want to come and join us in that, come and do that. So I've been welcoming people into there.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's great.
It sounds a bit like the same thing as my Find Your Joy course, which we're about to start. In that it's not the painting skills that keep you going. It's understanding what you're doing and why you're doing it and what motivates you and what you love. So it's the same thing. It's always the same things.
So
I've been getting ready for that, and that is pretty much ready. And the lovely thing is, after 3 years now, I think, of having an assistant working with me, she's now a manager rather than assistant. She's changed her role, and I brought on another assistant to do the thing she used to do, and she's now a business manager. Just all the organization that goes into an online course, it's huge. Just so many different things, as you know. And this year I had a meeting with Jamie yesterday, and I had a list of things thinking, oh, that's got to be done. And as I went through them, she was like, did it yesterday, on my list for today. Yep, I did that and I improved it by doing this. And it was just, oh, phew. You know, I can focus on the teaching, because all that part now we've got running like a machine. So even though I'm getting ready for that, and it starts on May 20th, and this is free, so come and join us. Link will be in the show notes. I've had more time for other things too than normal. So I've finished... oh, the final framing and the final packing. The final framing was a nightmare. I had to do, in the end, I framed 40 paintings of different sizes, and I managed to do 35 of them without any help. But the final few, can anybody tell me why Jackson sells 50 millimeter deep panels, but not 50 millimeter deep frame moldings, so that I couldn't buy a tray frame from Jackson's or anywhere that was 50 millimeters deep. So that involved a slightly nerve-wracking morning where Andy brought over some kind of saw thing and sawed the back off the panels to make them fit the frame. And he was going, I'm not going to be held accountable for anything that happens from now on, because my saw's quite old. And I was like, oh, And I even looked at how much would it cost to buy him a new saw. So it would definitely be okay. £900. Okay, we'll go with the old saw. We'll risk it. And anyway, everything was perfectly fine. They all went into the frames. So thankfully, that's done. And everything's packed and just sitting there to go next Monday. So what I've been doing since then, very, very dull, is updating my website. And I had this moment where I needed to find out how to change the way Squarespace works, and without being boring, it involved coding. And so I thought, right, I'll spend a day working that out. I'll work out CSS, I'll learn, I'll figure it out, I'll look at other people's websites. And then my friend said, oh, you could just contact your web developer and see if she could very quickly do it for you. And I went, oh yeah, I just have this tendency, even though I have got better at delegating, I still have this tendency to go, right, I'll figure it out, I'll sort it out. And then just being reminded that I could ask someone else.
Exactly, particularly when you've had her and it was a big project that you got her to do.
Yeah, and she did it in, she said, oh, that won't take any time. She's made me a template now that I can just repeat.
Yeah.
When I need this again.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't always rush to try and figure everything out yourself, Louise. Other people can help.
I think this is, I've heard of this phrase this week, which I really like. You know how when you have FAQs, frequently asked questions on things, this is SAQ, should have asked questions. But the issue is that often we haven't even formulated the question yet. We don't know what it is that we don't know, or how to ask for something, or if something is even possible. Like that panel issue, I don't use Jackson's panels for big ones, but I've had that issue when a buyer wanted a very particular frame on something that was a big panel. And I think the answer is that they assume that for those big deep panels,
you're not going to frame
sell them as they are. You're not going to frame them.
But they look so much better framed.
They do look really nice framed. And so we had exactly that issue. And my frame was just like, yeah, I'll just rip the back off. And I was like, what, ripping what? He's like, you know, on the saw. I was like, okay, as long as I don't have to watch you do that. He's like, it'll be fine, Alice. But, you know, he knows how to do that. I don't even know that that's, you know, possible. He's like, yeah, it's fine. We do it all the time. But it's very difficult, isn't it, sometimes having to think ahead to all of the things that you're not quite sure you're gonna have to adjust for. That's what helps having other people around, though.
I think this has been a week of getting help from other people who know more than I do.
Yeah, and it's nice that there's always lots of them.
Yeah. Oh, there's lots of people who know more than I do.
Yeah, use them. I had a similar thing at this event. They had a sort of tech person there, and I said, oh, really silly thing, but I just, you know, I want to be able to add, you know, new fonts to my website. And I know it's a really simple thing, but because it's been a mental block for a really long time, since I had like my first website fear, how does anything work in here? It's just stuck. And she's like, oh, I can do that. And she showed me, and it was like literally 5 minute job.
Yeah.
Silly ladies. So anyway, then we put a new font in. I was like, oh, actually, no, I don't like it in place. But now I know how I can find one and how I can put it in and where I do it in my child theme and all that stuff. But yeah, little breakthroughs, lovely to get help. Okay, so we're going to talk about this idea of stretching yourself, because I think that I do go through these periods of stability where you know what you're doing. Like often it's when you're, for me, often it's, there's two different types of stretching, isn't there? There's when you're working on something, you know you're in a creative zone or whatever project you're working on, and you've got to kind of stretch within that, explore, experiment, try new things. And then there's also a point as well for me where you have these pauses or these stops between projects and you think, okay, what next? What's my next stretch? Do I want to do that? What do I want in my life overall, big picture thing? Am I actually stretching for the right things here?
Yeah.
I want to talk about that.
The second one.
Well,
the personal stretching.
Yeah, because I think we talk about stretching on work, maybe, you know, that comes up, I think, in a lot of places, you know, push the ideas that you're doing within your work. But I think this big picture stretching and also not stretching, I think that's an important conversation that doesn't often happen. And it's one of the conversations that happened over the last few days that I think has stayed with us, you know, not being pushed into things because you see other people around you doing it. And I know you talk about this comparison thing a lot, looking at other people and not judging yourself, comparison. I think that's a part of it.
You know, it's funny, I was just reading in a book about Andy Warhol apparently was compared and despaired himself to Jasper Johns and Robert Rauschenberg. And apparently he used to sit there thinking, how can I ever do anything as creative as they're doing? How can I come up? And he thought his work at the time was very derivative and he was copying everyone. So even Andy Warhol compared and despaired. But sometimes, like in that situation, that pushed him to find his own thing. That comparison was a good comparison in a way because it drove him. But yeah, sometimes maybe it's a time not to be driven. I'm in a phase at the moment where both my art and the pause or my life, thinking about what I want, are marrying together. And I've been part of a small group for the last 8 weeks where we talk about our work and to what you were saying about bouncing off other people. It's been really helpful. And what I realized is I'm coming into a part of my life where I want to show up a lot more authentically in every area of my life. I want to put myself first. Mm-hmm. And I want to be more honest with people when what they want isn't what I want. I just want to be more. I feel like all through my life, I knocked all my edges off and I want to let all my edges come back again, if that makes any sense. And because I'm in a pause in work where I'm not making anything for anything and I'm free to do whatever I want, I realized I want to tie those two things together. So I want to make artwork at the moment, by which I mean scraps of paper, sketchbooks, whatever, not anything formulated for anyone else. And I want to make it as honestly as I can as a way of finding my way towards what I want in my life. Because I have a really hard time when I stop and think, what do I want and what am I going towards and what? It's a blank.
Is it because it's too empty or because there's too many possibilities that it's hard to choose?
So yeah, I'm both in a way. It just goes blank. But I can find my way there through working.
Yeah.
If the work I'm making isn't for anybody else. As soon as I start trying to make it for anybody else, make it nice, make it attractive, make it saleable, I think I'd lose that. So it's a good topic that you chose for me, because at the moment I'm thinking that I will have an art pause in a way where I'm not planning to sell anything. I might sell things if I make things and they start piling up, maybe I'll sell them. But I want to more just, I want my studio to look like a mad professor's laboratory when you come in. I want there to be stuff everywhere. But it, as a pause, if that makes sense. Not as a production line, but as a way of going inside and figuring things out. Because for me, I've never been able to do that pause you talk often about with my artwork, where you just don't make any for a while and then you get creative again.
Yeah.
But I think this is a way I can do it.
It's just different routes in, isn't it? It's like what we were saying at the same time about recognizing that you do things differently and what works for you for unlocking it. I think my issue and why I don't do that is because I have a tendency, or I have the capability and the ability, which is very useful at times, to get quite obsessed with things. to be very involved in something and to do it to the exclusion of other things that also make up life. And I can totally see that I could do that. And it's fine that there are periods where art is that, but I also want to have these other things, travel, time away with friends, all of that kind of stuff as well. And that's why for me, those pause places between making art are really important, because I feel like all of those kind of things exist. And I'm sure other people are much better than me at doing that the rest of the time, the rest of their life. I mean, I think, you know, you're very focused, determined person as well. And I think the downside of that is the ability to load yourself with more stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm focused and determined, but there is a difference with you and me, and I can't put it into words, but I noticed when we've worked on something together, you can be, this is the generator versus manifestor human design thing, I think, you can be focused and work on something for a lot more consistently and longer than me. I run out of steam and I'm like, okay, something else, I need a break, or, and you can just chug along past my level of exhaustion, because as you say, you get very focused and you can keep going. Whereas, so when I say I want to do the mad professor thing, that wouldn't be 10 hours a day.
No.
That might be 2 hours out of the day and there'd be other stuff.
Yeah.
But I do know what you mean, because I always admire that about you when we work on something. I feel like a bit of a flippity gibbet because I'm like, okay, I'm bored now. Can we? And you're just, we're doing this. And you're so focused and hard working on things, which, so I see what you mean. If you were to put all that into art all the time, there'd be no room for anything else.
I think there's something interesting in what you said about this showing up authentically and knocking the edges off and putting them back on again. And I just wonder whether that is a stage that you reach, but perhaps only after you've been through other stages with your work, you know, and this
and
came
your
up
life and your life.
Yeah. And this came up for me when I was writing. It's like it's easy enough to say, okay, I'm gonna take a step back from this or not do it. But the me 5 years ago needed to do certain things, to commit to certain things, to test certain things, to step out into areas where it felt scary and I didn't know what I was doing, to work a bit harder than I would have wanted to at some points. But I needed to do that in order to get to a stage where I could choose a little bit, perhaps, or in order to recognize what I was capable of. I think that was a big thing for me. I didn't know, I had no confidence what I was capable of. So I needed at some point to have that decision, like, are you going to really do this? Are you going to do this? Are you going to go for it and see what happens? And I think it's very easy to look a little bit further ahead and see people and going, oh, they're doing X, Y, Z. It's really easy for them. But there's also this stage that comes before that where you have to decide what you want to commit to and what you want to test and try. And that was it for me, you know, whenever it was 8-10 years ago, when I just thought, I just want to see what this art thing can do. And it would have been so easy at that point to say, I don't know what it's going to take from me. I don't know what I have to give to it. I'll just spend this time with my family instead. And look what I'd have missed out on. So I think that it's difficult because there are these different, it is a different stage that you go through at different points. And it's sometimes it's quite hard to recognize it. And also sometimes we know we've missed a point where we've done that. And then we can get to the stage of going, oh, it's too late for me now. I missed the chance to do that. I should have done it 5 years ago. That's easily done too.
Yes. Yes. And I have to, I was talking to a friend of mine who's just retired early from work, and I said something about, well, we're in the last stages of our lives now. And she went, I think I'm in a new phase of my life. Yeah. I don't think I'm in the final stage.
No.
And I said, oh, sorry. Yeah, that's my negative connotations, because I do have a tendency now to start thinking, all right, so I'm getting to where I'll be old in another, say, 10 years, I'll be an old person. So I should start thinking now, like, do I need to get a bungalow? Do I need to... Do I need to move near a hospital? Alice has got her head in her hands. Whereas
I'm going to share something with you. So yesterday evening, I looked on Facebook. A friend of mine, his dad has turned 80. He's just about to start an 800-mile cross-country bike ride to celebrate his 80th.
I couldn't do that now. I couldn't have done that when I was 30.
But would you like, this is the point, but would you, rather than just say, I couldn't do, okay, so that might not be the thing. But
yeah.
Is there
a thing
beyond art that is exciting? Like, you've talked about moving houses and living by the sea and.
Yeah. Oh, all that's definitely in there, swirling around. It was funny when I was doing some coaching with Georgina a while ago, who we've talked about on the podcast, and I said something about, oh, you know, I'll be 60 in another year, and is it too late to do these new ideas I've got? And she said, you know, you just ask for some signs, just ask for something to manifest that can prove to you that's not true. And the next day, I noticed in The Guardian a column which had been running in The Guardian for ages, but I never saw it. And it's called A New Start at 60. And it's people, and it's in every week, and it's people who've done something, started a new business, moved countries, you know, got divorced, whatever, at 60, and then made a new life. So it's just funny how these things, it was there, I never read it, but once I started thinking about it. So anyway, I don't know how we got onto that. Oh, yes, this idea of stretching and thinking it's too late. I see that a lot with people who join my course, and they'll say, well, I'm 65 now and it's too late for me. I'm 80 now and it's too late for me. And I always say to people, are you dead? Because if you're not dead, it's not too late. Like, it might be too late to run a marathon if you're 92 and you've got arthritis. Perhaps it's too late for that. But it's not too late to start painting. It's not too late to start expressing yourself. It's not... So we always have that choice, but like you say, at different stages, we want different things. So if I had thought 10 years ago, when I came back to painting seriously, oh, what I want to do is knock off all the edges, be really raw and unfiltered and not put any of it out for sale. I just want to do it for myself.
Yeah.
Then I would have felt that meant I wasn't a real artist, because first of all, I don't know if I can paint, and I'm already trying to do things that are rough and not refined.
Yeah,
I haven't learned how to be refined, and I want to prove to myself, like you said, I want to sell things, I want to get people to see my work, I want to communicate something in my work, and I still do, but like with these paintings, I could communicate through a book again. I don't have to sell the paintings, I could make another book and talk about the process.
So I wonder if that's a question that helps in this then. What is it that you feel you have to prove to yourself or to other people? And I think often when those kind of questions come up in practices like journaling practices, they come with a kind of angle like, what is it that you think you have to prove so that you can work through these and come to the point where you really feel you don't have to prove them at all anyway? Right. And I'm actually not sure that is necessarily right. I think it's more like, what am I feeling that I have to prove or do in terms of what do I truly want, and checking in, where is this coming from? Because actually, it's okay to have such, if you know that you would feel more confident and it would bring you experience, it's perfectly okay to prove that you want to get work submitted and accepted for something or whatever it is. I think there's a lot recently about not feeling like you have to do any of these things, and I think it's okay to want things. That's it, maybe. It's okay,
it's
to,
okay
want things.
To want them if you want them for yourself. But I think sometimes the trap people fall into is, I want that to prove to my spouse that this is worth doing, or I want that to impress other people, or I want that because my friends want that. My other artists I know want that, and therefore I think I must. Somebody in my group the other day said they'd got all caught up in Instagram, because we were doing an Instagram challenge within the group and trying a month of posting every day, and I had all these prompts for them. And she said, I've done it all, and I got all involved in it, and it worked, and I got all these extra followers and everything. But then I just stopped and thought, I don't want to sell my paintings, so why am I doing this? Well, good point. So sometimes it's just, like you said, it's knowing. Are you doing it for yourself, like you and I were when we started out? I want to prove this to myself that I can do this. Yeah. I want to. Or are you doing it just because of outside reasons, or compare and despair, or following along because that's what everyone else does? Which I did a little bit, and then discovered, no, I don't want this. I entered a couple of those shows and took my paintings to London and one to Manchester, and I didn't get anything out of the experience.
Yeah.
But I did it because the other people around me were doing that, and they all thought it was important.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I don't think this is important for me.
And I think it's that, when you understand your reasons, as always, then it's much easier to take what happens along the way, isn't it? It's like with Instagram, followers are an easy thing to track. I think in that sense, they're a good metric, but in and of themselves, I mean, so literally whatever. Whereas I think for me, Instagram has always been a place where I have felt at home, where I feel like I can connect with other people, have interesting conversations on threads, keep a record of my work, those kind of things. So knowing why you're doing it, then I don't track it anymore, actually, but I literally don't care if my followers go up or down.
Yeah, it makes no difference.
It's not what I'm there for.
It makes no difference anymore, because it's so random how many people see your things. And if you get a small percentage of your followers see anything, and only half of those are followers anyway. Half of them are not followers. If you look at the insights, you'll see.
Well, I think it varies.
The people who saw this, generally for me, it's 50%-ish are followers and 50% are new people. So my followers, it's probably, I don't know, a few percent of my followers who see anything. And I get good engagement compared to lots of people I see, but it's still, so yeah, the followers thing. But what were you thinking? So you said this is something you were thinking about on this last trip that you took, or that people were talking about. Was it in the context of stopping and deciding what you want to stretch towards? And what did you, have you had any realizations about that?
Only really what we've already spoken about, of being careful that you're not doing something just because you see somebody else is doing it. And within the context of actually, what do you want within your own life?
But have you actually come, because that's the part where I get stuck. So what do I want in my own life? There's a certain point of life where, if you're quite privileged as we are, when you have the basics of life sorted out and you don't have to worry about eating and you've got somewhere to sleep that's comfortable and all of that, that next stage of what do I want to stretch towards? We've had a big period, both of us, of pushing our businesses and building businesses, and that's kind of established for each of us now to a certain extent. And then the next thing is, what's next? Is it?
Yeah, but even
bigger?
Then you see,
is it getting smaller?
I don't think it's getting smaller for me, but I've always actually kept a limit on it. So in the early days, I limited it because I wanted it. I wanted the membership, for example, to feel like a more personal space, because I knew that's how I could show up in it best. So if I, like, I know your membership has got thousands of people in it, that idea, I don't want that. I like knowing the individuality, and for people, seeing people making those connections within the membership, that's really important to me. So I'm thinking now, like, we're going to be opening up again in June, and one of my worries always is, yeah, I want to make this available for people, but I also need to look after everybody who's in there and make sure that the people who come in know what they're coming in for. And I don't want to push it so that I have lots and lots and lots of people in there. It's not what I want. It's not what I want to create.
I've been a bit, I'm in a bit of a quandary over that, because I want to reach as many people as possible with what I'm doing. I see the effect of it. And for me, it's less about my personal connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about their connection with each other and a community that supports and inspires each other. So mm-hmm. we've begun to involve the community in creating content. And every week there's a studio tour of a different artist who shows us around and talks about their work, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, I'd like to reach as many people as possible because I see the impact it makes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the larger it gets, the more it demands of you, because even though I say it's not a personal one-to-one connection with me, obviously I have to continue to create and make new things for those people. But that would be the same whether it was 500 people or 3,000 people or 10,000 people. I'd still have to do that. And I have somebody to do the admin. There's a big admin and communication side to a membership, as you know, that grows as you have more members. So in a way, adding more people doesn't change the workload for me. The workload is the same. So I think it's not a quandary for me. It is very much like, no, I'd like it to grow and grow and grow, because each person that gets inspired to create, which is what we're about, inspires someone else in their life and changes someone else. And that is exciting to me to think that we're doing that. But
that's the thing really, isn't it? Is that in a way they're similar, but they're different experiences of it and what you want and what you want to create. And I think, you know, for me, that's been kind of thing, well, ooh, should I be doing it like Louise is doing it? And then every time I think about that, I think, oh.
But then you know the answer is there, isn't it?
Exactly.
And if I had a small group, not that yours is small because it isn't, but if I had what it was when we started, which was like 40 or 50 people maybe in a small group, that would feel really like, okay, I need to get going here. You know, I need to grow this and grow this. But I have been questioning, like with my course, where's the point where I want to say enough's enough? I think for me, the limiting will come more with the amount of times I do it. I think there's maybe a few more years that I want to do this level of leadership. And then I might want to just paint. So that might be where I limit. You know, I don't do this forever. I don't teach this course forever. Well, nothing, I don't run the group forever.
No. Nothing lasts forever, does it? That's the thing, I think. And the things that you see people doing, they don't last forever. And I think in almost inevitably after a certain number of years, perhaps, you know, the person leading them, if particularly if they're a creative person, they want to create something new.
Yeah. Like
they want new challenges. They want to stretch themselves in other ways. And like we talked a little bit about proving things, like some of this was, can I create a membership that is inspirational and exciting and I love and inspires people to do all sorts of things? And can you create a course that does this for people? Yeah, I can. Okay, now what?
Yeah.
You know, I want people to experience this, but okay, now what? And yeah, this now what? Okay, well, now what? You know, nothing's going to be there forever.
Yeah.
And some of that is that we put off doing things, don't we? Oh, I'll do that later. I'll do that next year. I won't do it this year because XYZ is, you know, is busy for me. And I've been in the past on things where I've said, oh, I'll do it next year. Next year's never happened because the person hasn't done it again. Missed it.
Yes.
That's a bit annoying.
It's funny because every year, well, every year for the last 2 years, last year and this year, I'm going to say the same thing to people. I might not do this course again next year. I said that last year.
Yeah, because you genuinely think that, yes.
Because I genuinely thought I wouldn't, and now I am. And I can see that people might think, yeah, yeah, you say that, but you will. But actually, I might not. Mm-hmm. So you never know, and I never want people to count on that. Because like you say, it's just like our painting. It keeps changing because we don't want to do the same things over and over again.
So there's a, come back to this idea of stretchiness then. So one of the things then that we've got to is you need new periods of stretchiness when you get a little bit tired, jaded, fed up with the way things are a little bit. That's a big clue, isn't it?
When you're ready.
Or when you can do everything that you're doing quite competently, that's definitely a time for new stretchiness. Or when you've identified there's an area that you actively want to develop a bit more, get better at. I think this is where, for me, it always comes back to the point of curiosity. Like, As long as I have that, well, what would happen if? Shall I just try X? Am I interested in doing this and see if there's a difference? Whenever I'm in that space, then I'm good. And it almost, I don't mind what the results are of it, because it's the testing it and the trying it and the inquiry that is the fun part.
Mm.
But whenever something starts to get routine, I'm going to do this. So, like, you know, we're talking about reels. Like if reels or Instagram posts become, oh, I'm going to do X and I know I'll get this amount of whatever result you want back from it, it starts to become formulaic. I don't like formulaic. I don't like formulaic in painting. I don't like formulaic in my weekly life. I change things in it. I don't like formulaic in business practice. If you do 1, 2, 3, XYZ will happen. Doesn't spark my brain up.
Yeah,
that's when I know I need to do new stretchy things.
Yeah,
getting comfortable with the stretchy things.
Yeah, it's the same with painting, isn't it? Yeah. You're just getting a bit bored with what you're doing. How to do this now.
Yeah,
a bit bored.
Yeah, I think this is the thing, is that art and what we're looking for in art often does reflect what we want to do in life as well. And, you know, whether you want to be experimental and explore and be a bit adventurous and feel like you want to experience something that challenges you a bit. Yeah, go and do it.
Just do it, people. Just do it.
Do it. Okay, so do we have something to wrap up with then on what's inspired? This is getting a little bit trickier because sometimes what's inspired is just what's happened in the week, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I did have what's inspired was digging into my work and what it's going to be about, but we've talked about that now. So yeah. Just completely non-art related, I cannot read anymore. I really struggle to finish a novel. Mm-hmm. And I finished easily, raced through Graham Norton's novel Holding. Mm-hmm. I've never read any Graham Norton books. I like watching them on
novel
TV.
Or autobiography
novel. So he's written three novels.
Okay.
And they're about small town Ireland. Apparently he goes back to Ireland every year in the summer and spends like all summer writing a novel and then works on the TV and radio all winter.
Bish bash bosh, nice, like you do.
Yeah, like you do. And he's very annoying because for those who don't know who he is in other countries, he's like our national treasure talk show host, radio person. And
funny.
He's
a little bit irreverent.
So funny.
Funny.
so good at everything he does, because these novels are wonderful, and you just think, oh, it's so annoying. I bet if he picked up a paintbrush, he'd be really good at that as well. But this is just a lovely novel. There was a TV series made of it, and I couldn't watch it. I got halfway through the first episode and I didn't like it, so I decided to try the book. And it's beautifully written, and it, they're murder mysteries, but the murders are totally like believable in a small place. They're not ridiculous murders. And yeah, I enjoyed it. So I went to Amazon and bought his other two novels, and there's a new one coming out later this year. And I've started the second one that I bought, which is also seeming to be really good. So if anybody hasn't tried Graham Norton's novels, I recommend them.
Well, that sounds good. Because it's been so long since we talked, we went ad hoc to the cinema to see the Nicolas Cage film, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which I can never remember, because like that's a long title and my brain doesn't function like that anymore.
I didn't know they'd made a film about me.
It's just, again, it was lovely. We went to the cinema not really expecting a huge amount. We're just like, yeah, that kind of looks vaguely interesting. Let's just go. So he plays himself as a slightly washed up actor, and he gets into this quite interesting relationship where he's invited out to an island to do a sort of birthday gig for a super fan, who is played by Pedro Pascal, is delightful. It's just a delightful film. There are some classic moments in it, which I'm not going to spoil, because you just need to go and see it, because there's just some really, really, really lovely, funny bits in it. Do please keep sharing. It is lovely when you share. That's how new people find us. And if you're here and listening for the first time, lovely to have you. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We went for a massage at this thing, and the lady, she gave us a form to fill out. You know, when you go to a new place for a massage, you have to fill in the, yes, I have
never had a
diabetes. Massage. You've never had a massage?
No, I won't take my clothes off in front of anybody. Well, not anybody who is not, you know, supposed to see me that way.
Oh my Lord, I can't believe that. No. Go and book one for after your course finishes. Oh, Chivalry. Okay, yeah, go on.
Have you seen it?
With Steve Coogan?
Who I have secret crush on anyway. It's like my guilty secret crush.
Well, I know, but if you get a really good book that you love and it's 2 inches thick, you know it's going to keep you going a long time.
That's true,
really enjoy it, and it's a good companion for a nice chunk of time, so...